So let's talk about the CERCLA equivalent in state law, which is the Texas Solid Waste Disposal Act. It's kind of similar, very similar to RCRA or CERCLA, but it's a combination of RCRA and CERCLA, two big federal statutes are combined into one here in our Solid Waste Disposal Act. And it adds this unique safe harbor to the exclusion of lenders that are not participants in management. And that is this 12-month safe harbor. And it says that that provision is that you're going to list the property for sale within 12 months of foreclosing. And there's two different dates of when it, there's of when you start counting those 12 months. It doesn't have to, a sale doesn't have to be completed. It just, the lender just must list the property. And I think this is, my personal opinion is that this is Texas's response to try to flip properties and get them, really get them back into the stream of commerce. Texas is kind of big about that. That's really one, I think one of the reasons we have our non-judicial foreclosure process. We don't want properties just sitting there fallow, not doing anything. That doesn't help our state economy. We want to see those properties used and have value, of course, that governments can tax, but value nonetheless. So this is kind of how they get at it. But it's just a different little quirk. It's a safe harbor. It doesn't mean that you have to do it in 12 months and it's a complete presumption or conclusion that you haven't acted, that you're, you lose your lender qualification. It just means that the burden of proof after those 12 months is going to shift. It's an easy thing to hit. It's just a, it's so easy to hit. It shouldn't be missed. So just kind of be aware of that. Let me talk about a little bit about the enforcement process. The enforcement processes of both the federal and state levels are similar. They use different terminologies. They're going to use different form letters, but it's pretty much going to be the same. You're going to start with a release of contaminants that requires a response action. So it has to reach a certain level of contamination. Somebody has to find it. It has to be found. You're going to have statute of limitations run, though, when you do that. You are going to lay those statute of limitations down over discovery rules. Sometimes, a lot of times in environmental contamination, we don't discover it when it happened. We discover it 15 years later. So does the discovery rule apply to your, to this release or not? That's a question that we'll have to, you have to go through. And all along the way, there are various letters that go out from the, either the TCEQ or the EPA. And at some point you end up with an order, and the order is going to have two different operating provisions. One is it's going to say, these are the statutes and regulations that have been violated, and this is what the responsible party must do to remediate the property, bring it back into compliance. Now, those actions are going to have a cost, and usually those, that cost is significantly more than the penalty. But so the second part of the order is the penalty, and the TCEQ and the EPA are both old school. They just believe that if they beat you enough and scare you enough, that you'll comply with an environmental statute that apparently they think that you wouldn't do voluntarily, and or if you were in your right mind. You make your own decision of what that means, but they just believe in old-fashioned fear and punishment to get voluntary compliance. The unpaid penalties, once the agreed order or the order that's entered by the court is violated, it accrues interest. Both under CERCLA and in state law, there are provisions where the government can step in and remediate the property itself. Rarely does it do that, but sometimes it does. Particularly if the property is abandoned, they can't find a responsible party, or the responsible party is being belligerent, shall we say, and the risk to the public health is significant, they'll go in and step in and do that. When they do, then they're going to have the opportunity to either file a lien under CERCLA directly or to pursue a recovery of their costs in court and convert that to a judgment lien by recording an abstract of judgment. Okay, but everything I've just described to you is on a calendar. You can post it on a calendar, and so you need to. Whenever you get into one of these, that's one of the things. I live and die by timelines, and the more different things you can get on the timelines, the more detail you can get on that timeline, the better off you're going to be because you're going to be able to strategize to the benefit of your client. And by incentivizing, let me talk a little just briefly about how the TCEQ incentivizes their employees to assess penalties and collect penalties. They give them awards. They have outstanding performer awards. These are actual signs. I took these pictures down at Austin and at the TCEQ's enforcement in their headquarters. They've got like 10 different buildings down there. I mean, it's a huge campus. So, and they've got, you can see there, they've got a reserve parking, preferred parking place for their enforcement division employee of the quarter. This is just, this is how they do it. And so you can expect that they're incentivized to find responsible parties to fine and to make those fines as big as possible and to collect as many of those as they can. So let's talk a little bit about bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is just when everything's just gone and you look kind of like this. Kind of reminds me of one of that image kind of reminded me of going to a college football game and doing the so-called surrender cobra. Hopefully we'll see some surrender cobras here in a week or two. Got to see a little bit of that this past weekend. I'm a huge college football fan, so that was great for me to see. Enjoyed that.